it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Thanks for joining me once again for this episode of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. We take for granted these days the plethora of digital books available to us. Many of us carry around small pocket-sized devices with hundreds of books on them. Many of us get our books on our mobile phones and read them that way. And some of us still get CDs that we insert into a player and play them that way. As I said, many of us take this for granted, but how did we get there? How did we get from using records and record players through cassettes and cassette players to what we have today? Recently, as you're aware, I attended the Roundtable on Information Access for People with a Print Disability. There, I met Hiroshi Kawamura from Japan. Hiroshi is a board member of the DAISY Consortium. He was the keynote speaker at the Roundtable. I had a discussion with him about how DAISY came into existence and what it means today and where DAISY's heading into the future. This will be presented in several parts in New Horizons over the coming weeks, but today we have part one. Tell us about the DAISY Consortium. When did it begin and what's it for?
The DAISY Consortium was officially established in 1986 in Sweden, Stockholm. And the purpose of the consortium is to establish an international open standard for digital talking book. And it's called now DAISY, which is the International Open Non-Proprietary Standard for Digital Talking Book. And actually, it's beyond the it reaches beyond the talking book. Right now, the DAISY includes text and sometimes not only audio as well as the pictures to represent the standard book, in particular for educational purpose.
Why was it seen as necessary to have talking books at that, or digital talking books at that time?
We could go back to the history of the talking book. It started with the open reel tape, as well as in North America in particular, the record. It's a disc record, huge one. And after that, the cassette tape was invented, and it took 10 years to shift from open reel to cassette. And during the time, we used cassette tape for talking books. We knew sometime it will be replaced by something else. So then we were very keen when the time will come to shift from the cassette to other one. So that was the discussion we had in 1986, in particular in Tokyo, when the International Federation of Library Associations held the general conference in Tokyo. The section of libraries for the blind held one-day seminar on the future of the cassette book, cassette talking book, as well as the digital talking books.
That would have been a really interesting seminar, particularly at that time, because digital media was really only in its infancy, and cassettes were well and truly entrenched. But there were a number of issues, weren't there, with the cassette-style audiobook?
Yeah. Two issues. One is the usability for audience. There are two ways of two types of reading. One is for recreational reading, to to have a better life. Another is reading for study or research. That's called professional readings. So for, reading novels, cassette tape is perfect. You can read, start top to the bottom, start to the end continuously. And cassette tape may give you the immediate start from the point you stopped previously. For novels, it's okay. But if it is for a study book, in particular at the universities and at the seminars, you may get 10 references, which may include some pages of a book. Then you have to identify which part of the cassette is the point you need to read, the location or navigation to that point may take long, long time. So that was one of the worst feature of the cassette, and we wanted to take advantage of the digital technology to get better navigation, which is achieved right now by DAISY format. So that's one thing. From the library point of view, cassette tape is a something like books which will be completely lost in 30 to 50 years, because the quality of the cassette tape depends on the magnetic components on the cassette. So then we are living on the big, huge magnet of the planet Earth. So within 50 years, everything will be gone. So that's the fate of the analog cassette tape. It cannot be refreshed. So therefore, with at least two reasons, we wanted to change it to better technology.
You mentioned in your presentation during the roundtable that there were two distinct forms of cassette-based audiobook. And we had both in Australia. We had the four-track, and we also had two-track standard cassette format audiobooks, which led to some confusion.
Yeah, the same physical cassette tape could be used in different ways. That's the format issue. And in North America, the Library of Congress invented the four-track 15, 16 inches per second versus to the standard, so-called standard cassette tape, which has only two tracks and twice of playback speed. So the advantage of the North American standard 15, 16 is obvious for the longer playback time. But the disadvantage of that format is requirements of a specially designed playback tool. So in Australia, when I first visited, people were suffering from the necessity of two different types of cassette tape to study or read. That's format issues. So that reflected to the necessity of the one integrated international standard to be achieved in the digital age. So we were very much determined that in the digital age, we have to establish one international standard.
Perhaps you could describe how you went about doing that.
It was really difficult to establish open, non-proprietary international standard in digital technology. Because everybody is competing each other to get patent and to get profit from that. And many players, giant company players, are struggling each other. So there were very interesting two initiatives in the area of digital talking book prototype development. One is in Sweden, the other is in Japan. In Sweden, the National Library of Sweden for Braille and Talking Book, shortly called TPB, developed a digital talking book produced on PC and to be played by PC for study purpose, for students in particular. And they wanted to make it available for students. And another initiative was made by a playback tool company called Prexstar in Japan. They planned and developed a prototype of a digital talking book player for CD-ROM actually. The Swedish initiatives doesn't have the plan of the distribution of playback. It requires manipulation of a PC, which was a bit difficult for ordinary blind people. The Japanese initiative didn't have any measures to produce. So I found them. They may become a very good partner if their format is agreed upon to share the same format. And I asked them when I at that time I was taking the chair of the section of Libraries for the Blind of the International Federation of Library Associations. So therefore, it was my responsibility to seek the real international standard for the digital talking book. And I asked those two initiatives if they collaborate with the International Federation of Library Associations to achieve our goal. And very luckily, both parties agreed and collaborated with us. And I discussed with my colleagues of the section of Libraries for the Blind, and mostly they are libraries and or the organization of the blind in each country. So five of them agreed to establish a consortium to achieve the goal of the international digital talking book standard. So that was the origin of the establishment of the DESI Consortium in 1986.
Hiroshi Kawamura there from Japan. Hiroshi, as I said, is a member of the board of the DESI Consortium. That's it for this week's program. I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.